It is almost here. We are 6 days away from the 2024 NFL Draft. It is next week. This is the last episode until then. We are super excited. This is supposed to be one of, if not projected to be, the most watched NFL Draft ever. This draft is so deep and so exciting, and all the mocks that I have seen have one move tweaking the entire draft. So we're going to do a mock draft today. Just Jason and I, we're going to go back and forth and see if we can snipe and tilt each other a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
it's going to happen.
We'll go ahead and get started. We just basically started at the first overall pick and alternated. I'll have one, he'll have two, I'll have three, so on and so forth till the end of the draft. We did it that way so that way I can pick for Detroit. The Texans don't have a first-round pick, so that was easy to decide.
Their first-round pick was basically Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, basically. So I'm starting with the Bears at the 101. I won't waste any time. We've talked about Caleb Williams more than enough over the past month and a half.
No way, dude. Hot take. Explain yourself.
So I think the Bears obviously go with Caleb Williams. They've pretty much said that they're going Caleb Williams. They've told, like, they haven't met with anyone else except Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams hasn't met with any other teams except for the Bears. So they're just going to pick Caleb Williams.
Well, he has virtually no weaknesses. He is the highest graded prospect and quarterback prospect, probably of the decade and possibly ever up to this far. He checks all the boxes, and any worries that anyone or any team could have about Caleb Williams would be a little more intangibly, because from what I saw and heard, he's seems a little awkward, a little different. He's done and said like some questionable things. I have said that he has some baggage, and it seems like with some of the stuff that they came out with in the offseason about him potentially wanting partial ownership of the team he gets drafted to, or wanting a big contract right away. I don't know that for certain, but I do. There is one, and that is that he is the best prospect in this draft.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and pick for the Commanders so I can see which quarterback I get at number three.
Yeah, so I'm going to make this clear, because I know whichever one I don't take here, you're going to take at three. So I'm going to come out and say, I think Drake May in the long run will be the better quarterback. His comp is Josh Allen and Justin Herbert basically combined. And it is easy to see and say that, mostly because of his size and athleticism. He has a giant arm. The only knock on him is that he has made some questionable decisions, and that I heard something about like his footwork or whatever, like from like one person, and that he didn't play in a competitive conference. Like, he played for UNC. The last UNC quarterback taken was Mitchell Trubisky, and I'm not saying May is anything like that. I am saying that May is the youngest of these quarterback prospects. So if anything, it will be a matter of what situation he goes to. Does he end up, you know, like similarly to Josh Allen, where, you know, he may start off a little rough around the edges and then clears things up? Or is he going to go to a rough situation which may take him longer, or where he may not hit the potential that we expect him to? But nonetheless, I think he is the better prospect, but because of Jaden Daniels' ties to Cliff Kingsbury, he is a Heisman winner. He played in the SEC. He has more experience. As the Commanders, I think I would take Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's what I expected you to do. So basically everything that you just said about Drake May sums up why I think the Patriots should pick him. I said last week that, you know, there was potential that they might take Marvin Harrison Jr. We've seen mock drafts where they go Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the best prospect in this class, maybe overall, but at least top two behind Caleb Williams, so it would be smart of them to go there. The problem is you're risking passing up on a quarterback that could potentially, you know, turn your franchise around post Tom Brady, and that's not something that you can turn on often, despite the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. is, you know, a top wide receiver prospect of the past 10 years. So I'm going to have the New England Patriots taking Drake May at number three.
Yeah, I saw some mock drafts with them taking J.J. McCarthy because it seemed like he may be a little more polished and played for a school that was more successful. But I don't think you should or they should second-guess themselves and think too much about it. Drake May is the better prospect. He has the higher ceiling. You have the 103. Take the best player available and the one with the most potential, and I think that's Drake May.
Yep. Okay, so what are the Cardinals going to do at the fourth pick?
Dude, a lot of people, especially as of the last couple days, I see a lot of guys having either the Vikings or the Giants moving up to that four spot. The Cardinals have another first-round pick later on. But this is, aside from Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the highest-rated prospect talent-wise in this draft. He is a generational talent, probably the best and highest-rated at his position this decade. I don't think you can pass that up. And again, they have another first-round pick later on.
Yep.
I think you smash accept on Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, I agree. Now the draft can really start because those are the top four picks. I think that pretty much everyone in the world thinks that those four are the top four picks this year. Drake May and Jaden Daniels, you can kind of flip them back and forth, but those are the top four picks in this year's draft. So I'm on the clock with the Chargers at five. This is the only trade that I have mocked right now, but I've seen it a lot. And I think that the Vikings traded for the Texans pick knowing that they're trying to make a move up into the top five to take a quarterback that they know they like. I think that there's a chance that if they were to wait until 11, they could get J.J. McCarthy. But I think that they're not trying to risk it. Kirk Cousins is gone. You have Justin Jefferson in a contract year, and he'll be entering the prime of his career pretty soon if he's not already there. You have T.J. Hockenson coming back off injury. Even if it's not ready, even if he's not ready to start the year, you have Jordan Addison. You're not trying to waste time figuring something out at quarterback, and you're not trying to waste time having Sam Darnold be your bridge guy until you get somebody better. So I think they are going to trade their first two first-round picks, 11 and 23, and move up to five and take J.J. McCarthy. The only reason that I think that the Chargers wouldn't like to trade back is if they were able to get Marvin Harrison Jr., which Brandon and I talked about this week, but obviously the Cardinals are going to make that move. Or if they are not committed to Justin Herbert and want to start over, but I don't know why they would not be committed to Justin Herbert. He's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I would have had the same thing. I definitely have the Chargers moving down. It just seems like a perfect match for Harbaugh to want to build and have more volume and room for that as opposed to just having a top five pick. They already have Justin Herbert. They have a good left tackle in Rashawn Slater. Like, they have a good team on paper. So it's a matter of volume, depth, and restructuring.
I will say that would be four quarterbacks in the top five, which does not happen very often. Even though this is a quarterback-heavy draft class, it is probably fairly unlikely to see four quarterbacks going inside the top five picks because it just doesn't happen. So it is possible that the Vikings stand still where they are and just want the two first round picks to draft, you know, a quarterback at 11 or a tackle at 11 and a quarterback at 23 or yeah, a quarterback at 11 and a tackle at 23. They're just trying to get assets to build toward their future now that Kirk Cousins is gone because they know that they're talented enough to compete and they want to be able to do it soon. So they're trying to make moves to make sure that they can do that as soon as possible.
All right, I got the Giants at six, and unfortunately, Drake May went at three. When the Patriots go at three, or whoever, actually, if Jaden Daniels were to go to the Commanders at two, Drake May falls to the Pats at three. If I'm the Giants, I'm seeing what I can package together to potentially offer the Patriots a trade for that pick to get Drake May. but considering what we have so far, he's already gone, so that option has left the table. I think that after losing Barkley, looking at their offense right now, on paper, I think it's probably the worst offense in the NFL. They need another playmaker. Even with Daniel Jones, they're going to have him another year and then hopefully try to figure something out the year after as far as quarterback goes. But they need a guy that can make plays with the ball, I have them taking Malik Nabers from LSU. He's generally the second rated wide receiver. So again, I'm not going to think too much or too hard about it. Some guys have Odunze rated higher than him. LSU is a receiver factory. He's basically a carbon copy of Ja'Marr Chase. I'm not saying he is or will be, but I'm saying the ceiling is there. Same size, height and build. He's incredibly explosive. So hopefully they can try to scheme him into their offense, essentially get the ball in his hand and hope that he can do good things with it.
I'm in your head.
Why?
So far I'm 3 for 3. I predicted all three of your picks.
Wow. That's, yeah, I mean,
I was afraid you were going to take Joe Alt, because that's who I'm going to take for the Titans. I think that they're trying to... If you had not taken Malik Nabers and had taken Joel, I would have taken Malik Nabers, and that feels weird considering the fact that the Titans just went and got DeAndre Hopkins, and then they went and got Calvin Ridley. But I do think that they're doing everything they can right now to make Will Levis prove that he's the guy that they can build around, and where there's no real great quarterback prospects at this point for them to draft to push Will Levis behind who they already have. I think that they're just going to go out this year and get as much talent as they can, as they did in free agency, to try and build and show Will Levis that, or let Will Levis show that he can be the guy that they can build around for the future. So they're going to go ahead and get Joel, I think, at 7, and he's the best tackle prospect in the draft. Just looking at him, he literally, like, he looks like the leader that I would want on my offensive line, and he's a guy that I would play NFL running back and run behind, because he just looks like he's a leader, and he was obviously the best tackle in college last year, and he's the best tackle prospect in this upcoming draft. So I think that they take Joel at 7.
Yeah, he's very safe. Big dude. And just to even things out, I am also right about your predictions so far. Okay. Because
great. Well, pretty, then we're at 8. The draft starts at 8.
They're pretty consensus. I've seen Joe Alt go at 7 to the Titans everywhere.
I really thought that you were going to take him at 6.
What would absolutely spiral me is that pick right there. If Joe Alt doesn't go to the Titans, it's going to mess with my head. Here with the Falcons, they're in a good spot, similar to the Bears, where like they have a much better roster than what their pick says. I can see them trading down if there's a team trading up to get a player that has fallen to that spot that they really want. But considering that the top 4 quarterbacks are now already off the board, the top 2 receivers, I'm going to say that there's probably nothing that the Falcons would be offered to be willing to move down. I say that with the guys that they have in the secondary on defense, they have the best safety in football right now, Jesse Bates. They have, oh my God, AJ Terrell at corner. They could go corner again. I don't know who they have at linebacker, but I have no linebacker going in the first round right now. I don't know of any linebackers that could go in the first round. So that leaves D-tackle and edge rusher. They already have a top 10 offensive line at least. They have some playmakers. They got Darnell Mooney, so and Rondell Moore for depth at receiver. So I literally think the only route that they go if they keep this pick is edge rusher. I think they take the best edge rusher, and that's Dallas Turner. He's the best. You're smirking at me, but he's he's the highest rated. He's the most well balanced, and he basically took over for Will Anderson last year. He's the best all around edge rusher. He can stop the run. He has a high motor. He's always like 100 miles per hour. You know, he's not Chase Young. He's not taking plays off and shit.
Yeah, that puts me back up with the Bears again. You're going to also start 5 for 5 on me, because with Joel gone, unless the Bears trade back, Roma Dunze is their pick here. It feels weird for them to draft another wide receiver considering they have Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, but similarly to the Titans. They just want to make sure that they know Caleb Williams is going to be good right off. You just traded away your borderline franchise quarterback in Justin Fields to commit to Caleb Williams, and they want to set him up to be good now and in the future. And Keenan Allen, make sure he's good now. Rome Odunze would make sure that he's good in the future. My three picks for the Bears at this spot would have been Malik Nabers, then Rome Odunze, then Dallas Turner. So Rome Odunze is the only guy left on my draft board for them anyway. And I've seen him draft here or mocked here in pretty much every mock draft I've looked at so far. So Rome Odunze goes to the Bears at 9.
I don't disagree, and I've seen it before, and a lot of people think that they should take him, and he's probably the best player left at that point, but I hate that pick.
Yeah.
You got Keenan Allen. I don't care that he's 31 years old. He's still playing at a very high level. You have DJ Moore right behind him, who's still very young. Cole Kmet is a very good pass catcher. I really think that you need to do everything you can to protect your number one overall pick. I think you need to protect your asset. If that would have been my pick, I probably would have gone Olu Fashanu there.
Mm-hmm.
Or Fashanu. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but from Penn State. Where I've heard that Joe Alt is a more safer pick, I've heard that Fashanu, with him being the youngest of the tackles in this draft, has very high potential. So with Darnell Wright, who they drafted last year, the year before, I say you get the other tackle, protect Caleb Williams, and then you go with what you have. He's already going to be in a better situation than most quarterbacks have had at the first overall pick right. So far. But I don't disagree.
So did you have me taking Rome Odunze, or did you have me taking Olu Fashanu?
I would have been on you taking Rome Odunze.
Okay. So we're still...
So now the draft starts.
9 of 9. The draft starts at 10. Or does it?
Oh, man. So...
Oh, did you want the Jets to take Rome Odunze? Were you hoping that he would fall to 10?
No.
Oh, okay.
So I would have had Rome Odunze fall a little bit, even though I think he's a very good player. Man, so what I really want, because what I think is perfect, is for Brock Bowers to fall to the Chargers at 11, but I don't think that's going to happen because he is such a good player. I think the Jets are going to snipe him at 10. From Georgia, great pass catcher, great blocker. All the best teams, for the most part, in the last 10, 20 years that have won Super Bowls have guys that can dominate the middle of the field, and that's usually tight ends.
We should have just coordinated this ahead of time instead of doing it on our own, because that's who I would have had also at 10 for the Jets.
It's one of those things where it's like I told you just before we started recording, I'm going to look at the board, and I'm going to compare best player available versus position of need. And if the best player available trumps their position of need, then I'm going to take it. I would like to see Brock Bowers fall to the Chargers, because I think that's a perfect marriage. Jim Harbaugh loves tight ends. He runs his offense up front through the offensive line and through tight ends. He's not big on like receivers or very pass heavy. It would be perfect there, but I think the Jets snipe him to give Aaron Rodgers everything that they can to make a run with the 1 or 2 years that they have with him. They could have gone protection, but I believe they already got 2 tackles in free agency.
Right.
They got Tyron Smith, and they got, I think it was Morgan Moses. So they could draft a tackle. I would have rather seen them draft a tackle here, but Brock Bowers is the better player.
Yeah, similarly to what you said, and I think that's why, like you just mentioned, we have such similar mocks, is that we had a similar strategy. You look at the best players on the board. You look at their positions of need. If the best player on the board matches a position of need, they draft that player.
It's really a matter of, like, it's hard to predict what teams are going to be like, oh my God, the guy we want is still there. That pick is a lot lower than where we would be willing to take them. Let's trade up. Put something together. Like, we don't know. Like, that A.J. Brown trade, what was it, last year, the year before? Like, you don't see that stuff coming. That was a crazy trade. But
right. Something
like that where it's like, oh, you know, let's say the freaking Colts are like, oh my God, Rome Odunze is still there at 10 or 11. Let's move up to get him to pair with Michael Pittman. And like something like that could happen. It's like, oh shit, they went for it. Like I think there will be at least one team that makes a surprise trade that goes for a high rated player. That's like, oh yeah, that's who they wanted. Good for them. You know?
So I'm not sure what you would have had the Chargers doing at this 11 spot. Obviously, you knew that it was going to be the Chargers pick. I had told you ahead of time that I was going to have the Vikings trade back to five or trade up to five. The list that I found has the Chargers' biggest positions of need as wide receiver, which all the big three wide receivers are gone. They'd have to really reach on Brian Thomas here if you really want a wide receiver. I also don't think that their offense that they're going to try to run this year requires a high top-tier wide receiver. And so I don't think that they will go wide receiver and take Brian Thomas at 11. They next need an edge rusher. To me, the next best edge rushers can probably wait a little bit after Dallas Turner. It's a little bit of a drop off. And then after that is cornerback. So I do think that the Chargers take the first cornerback in this draft. And the list that I'm going based off of is just kind of a consensus combination of all the big boards for all the top media platforms. And it just combines them, I think, and just takes the average of everything. And that's Quinyon Mitchell is the highest ranked cornerback. So I have them taking him at 11.
His stock shot up so high after the combine, and he was probably the, like, right in that top five, but he shot up to number one after he absolutely blew it up at the combine, and now people are comparing him to like Sauce.
Mm-hmm.
In size, length, and athleticism, that he has the potential within the, you know, first year or two in the league that he is a like a lockdown, very athletic guy similar to Sauce.
Is that who you had going at 11?
Nope, I would have had them taking a tackle opposite to Rashawn Slater.
I did think of that as well, with Olu Fashanu still there. But I think that with Rashawn Slater there, they have someone that they trust already. Their offensive line wasn't terrible last year. Austin Eckler's been just fine behind it for the last couple of years, and they already have a quarterback that they're not necessarily looking to protect because you know that he's good at making plays and, you know, continuing on. I think that they're going to try to bolster up their defense so that way they have someone to take the pressure off of their run game in the offense, if that makes sense. But I think it can go both ways.
Yeah, no, it does. Like, you, like, even though they have had a good team on paper, it just hasn't panned out. Is it the coaching? We don't know. I believe Khalil Mack left. Joey Bosa has been going through injuries. Derwin James has been getting injured. Didn't they get J.C. Jackson and then he went back to New England or something?
Yeah, he went back to New England.
Right. So the Chargers' best corner right now, I'm looking into it right now. It is, oh, Asante Samuel. He's a pretty good corner. And then Dean Leonard. Don't even know who that is. So I don't, yeah. Yeah, so that was a good pick there. I think that's very possible.
Cool. So who do you have? I don't even know who picks at 12, but who do you have at 12?
The Denver Broncos. So
I didn't know that.
So right here, something that I have learned as of late, and realized, as I heard it, that Bo Nix is older, has had the most college starts at Oregon. He's incredibly accurate, very good at playing with a script. He's very accurate. He has good ball placement. And I think that's exactly what Sean Payton's looking for. I think he doesn't want to mess around and try to develop someone. He's got age, so I think he has a lower ceiling, but I think he does have a fairly high floor. He's just looking for a guy that won't make mistakes, that can put the ball where he needs it, and that can stay on script. That's Bo Nix.
You don't think Bo Nix will fall farther than, like, potentially be available in the second round?
Could it happen? Yes. This quarterback draft is deep, and there are two or three teams in the middle rounds of the draft that I think will be so desperate for quarterback, I think they won't have a choice but to reach.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that you think the Raiders are the other one.
I do.
I don't have the Raiders taking a quarterback because I do think that Bo Nix and I'm blanking on the other one.
Michael Penix.
Yes, Michael Penix. I do think that they are probably second round prospects. And I don't think that they'll be taken in the first round, but it is possible that they're just so desperate right now that they go for it. Especially,
it reminds me of the Steelers with Kenny Pickett.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you just have to. And he was, I think, the best prospect in that class, and he was not good. I would say that Bo Nix and Michael Penix are both better prospects than Kenny Pickett. And if they fall, it's just too high of a risk to let them go.
Right.
You know what I mean? And not take them.
I do have the Raiders taking Olufoshanu here, the second best tackle prospect in this class. I think that with all the other quarterbacks gone, now basically all the teams have the quarterback that they need, and they will be competing pretty much for the first overall pick next year. So if they can, unless they can find a package to move into the top five to get a top four quarterback in the class, I think that it would be in their best interest to basically just punt this year, draft a couple of linemen, build up their core, and then next year when they're really bad, potentially get Shedeur Sanders or one of those other quarterbacks that are top in next year's class. I would rather them, like if I were them, I would rather wait and get a guy that I know is going to be good in the NFL than take Michael Penix, who has the potential to do it, but has the potential to not do it. Especially with how the Raiders have been for the past like 15 years. It's been Derek Carr. They've been very mid, and I don't want to draft another quarterback that's going to make me be mid. I want to be great. I want to be contending with Mahomes to be at the top of that division, especially now with, you know, Herbert having no weapons and the Broncos also being in a rebuild. I want to do it right, and I want to be a potential dynasty in that division rather than trying to be mid like you have been for the past 10 years. So I would have them go tackle and then try to get quarterback next year. But I would not be shocked if they take quarterback in the later rounds if Bo Nix is there for them in the second round, just because Aiden, whatever his last name is, the one guy, yeah, Aiden O'Connell, that's him, is not the answer at quarterback. So I do think that they will probably draft quarterback in this draft. I don't think it'll be in the first round.
All right. I'm looking up some specifics between two different players right now. So as far as the Saints go, I think they could go corner, but they have Cam Jordan, who's a lot older. He's not what he used to be. They got Chase Young. Hopefully Chase Young will learn a little bit under Cam Jordan. But as of right now, they are opposite each other. And according to the NFL app, they have needs at O-line, wide receiver, cornerback, D-line, and linebacker. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they have Teron Armstead at left tackle, who was originally on Miami. I'm looking into that right now.
I think he's still on. He's still on the Dolphins. But he got hurt last year, I think.
So there's a couple different options I can go here. I can go O-line. I could go D-line, which is what I was originally looking at since they already got Chase Young. I think this may be a little too early for the D-tackle, and I don't think it's a necessity, even though, again, it could be best player available to go with edge. They could go Jared Verse. But I'm going to say that with the way the offense was last year, it was very lackluster. They couldn't get much going. I think Derek Carr was hurt for a while, too.
Yeah, he missed a couple games.
So it says the highest position of need is tackle, so I'm going to go with Troy Fatanu from Washington.
Interesting.
Yeah. So
I did have you taking Jared Verse there.
Yeah. That's what I thought of at first, and then I saw and realized that they have Chase Young and Cam Jordan still. I think they're going to prioritize protecting Derek Carr.
That is perfectly fair. The Colts. So the Colts are picking at 15. According to the list that I had, their needs. Hold on. It is taking a while to load because I'm running 100 things on my computer at the same time. But their needs are... Oh my God, this might crash my computer. Their needs are offensive tackle, defensive tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, interior offensive lineman, running back, and safety. So judging by the list that I have right now throughout those, their biggest need is obviously offensive line, especially with, you know, them wanting to have a mobile rushing quarterback and an elite running back. They're going to want to run the ball. So I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this name, but it's the tackle from Oregon State, Talese Fuaga.
Yes.
Great. That's the guy that I would have them taking there.
This is who? The Colts?
Yes, at 15.
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah.
Actually, I think that's a good fit, too, because he is... higher rated in run blocking Mm-hmm. Very good run blocker. So I don't hate that.
And you had Troy Fatanu going before that?
I did.
Great.
To the Saints.
All right. Then that puts up the Seattle Seahawks.
So I think Seattle Seahawks' biggest need is D-tackle. But, again, best player available at a similar position. They have Leonard Williams, who they re-signed, but he's 30 years old. I think they're going to go with... Man, you could go either way. I'm going to make it a little interesting, and I'm going to say they go with the player that is a higher risk, but without the injury history, would probably be rated higher. I'm going to say they take Latu Latu.
That's who I had you take.
Edge rusher from UCLA. Okay, you know what?
I thought you were going to take Jared Verse because I had Jared Verse going ahead of
whatever,
him.
Whatever,
and so he would have fallen. But yeah, assuming that Jared Verse would have been gone, I had you taking him. But now knowing that Jared Verse was on the board, I probably would have changed my pick to be Jared Verse instead. But that's what I had written down before. The number 17 pick is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their biggest needs, according to the website I'm using, which is DraftWire, I probably should credit them instead of just keeping it a secret. Their biggest need is wide receiver, according to this website. They lost Calvin Ridley. They do still have Christian Kirk.
Gabe Davis.
And they did get Gabe Davis, but I do think that they're going to try to add someone else in the draft again this year. So I have them going with Brian Thomas Jr., who is the clear fourth option in this draft, but that does not mean that he's not a good wide receiver. That means that this draft class is absolutely stacked. He would be a wide receiver one in a lot of other draft classes. And so I think that they could go with him. And
all the guys that I've watched talk about their mocks, like, literally apologize to Brian Thomas because they're like the guys above him.
Right.
Like, this wide receiver draft and this draft in general is just so good and so deep at his position.
I think that the Jaguars are at a point, especially with Trevor Lawrence entering the point in his career where he's going to have to get extended. I don't think he's been extended yet. Maybe he has. Maybe I'm mixing up years. But he's to the point where you have to see a big flash from him. Like, they made the playoffs one time in his career. They did beat the Chargers in the first round. They got bounced by Patrick Mahomes after that. But other than that season, he has not done anything in his career to show that he is a franchise level quarterback, in my opinion. So they need to add the pieces around him to make him show that he's a franchise level quarterback before you have to extend him and pay him big time money.
So there's two different directions that I thought about going with for the Bengals. Do I go with the safer option, or do I go with the, riskier option? So they signed Trent Brown. They already have Orlando Brown. Their O-line has still been having issues, even with the guys that they signed in free agency last year. And even though they tagged T. Higgins, he requested a trade, so they don't. They're definitely not going to be able to pay him, but they will at least have him this year. And I look at the Chiefs, and I know that they're different. I know that it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, but you also look at Brady and some of the quarterbacks that are elite that have been successful with sub-elite wide receiving cores. Like, when they're that good, if they have, I feel like what is more important for them to have the protection and decent run game. And he has Jamar Chase, who's a top three receiver. So even though I originally had, and everyone has, the Steelers taking Jackson Powers Johnson, mm-hmm. the interior O-lineman from Oregon, I'm going to say the Bengals snipe them here. Now that Jonah Williams is gone, they got their two tackles. Now they need a guard / interior O-lineman that can help protect Burrow from the inside and be able to establish a run game.
If Aaron was here doing this mock with us, he'd be yelling at you right now.
He would be. He would hate me right now.
I think that's an interesting pick, and it does make sense for them. I feel like they've been very, let's go get tackles the last couple of years. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind, is get them another tackle until they finally figure it out. But yeah, drafting an interior lineman, especially one that can play center or guard, makes
sense.
He's
very versatile and seems to be the clear cut best prospect in the interior.
Yeah. All right. Well, that definitely changes things for me. So I
finally, now the draft has started. It only took 18 picks.
Well, I haven't got 100% so far because you picked Bo Nix, you passed on Jared Verse, and
yeah, so gotcha. I think
so. This is the third one that that was different, but this one was very different. So I
wait. Who did you have me taking for the Bengals?
J.C. Latham.
Oh, really?
Who's another the best tackle left?
Yeah.
And so at 19 is the Rams. The website DraftWire that I'm using basically says best offensive line or best defensive lineman available is who they're going to take. Their defensive line has been garbage aside from Aaron Donald since like they won the Super Bowl, which I know is only 2 years ago, but that's long enough that it's time to address that, especially now that you've lost a top two defensive player of all time. It's going to be very hard to, you know, keep your defense on the field and, you know, get stops if you can't do anything up the middle through the run or through the pass rush. So I originally had them taking Byron Murphy here, but because you passed on Jared Verse, he now is the best rated defensive lineman left. And the list that I use has him as the 13th best prospect overall, so a good value there as well. So I will have the Rams taking Jared Verse.
Yep. I like that. I think I probably would have gone with the same way because, again, best player available or one of at a very important position and could easily go a lot earlier than that.
All right. Now things are going to go crazy because I didn't even have Jared Verse on my list for the Rams at that spot because I didn't think he was going to be there. So now I might be just throwing away my whole draft board and just starting over. There's still a player that should... I think should have gone that I'm going to have to consider taking at some point. I'm going to have to start looking back at team needs and seeing what people need. All right, who picks at 20? That's the Steelers, right?
That is the Steelers. So now that they got sniped, it is a choice of either going tackle or interior offensive lineman. You could also go receiver, but Brian Thomas is gone. So I don't think that they will go that route. So I'm going to say they take who is probably the best O-lineman available, J.C. Latham, which will allow Broderick Jones, who has been playing, I believe, right tackle, to go back to left tackle, which was his original position, I believe. So... now, basically, I'm saying that they're going to establish both tackles there.
See, I had you taking Amarius Mims there.
He was the other one I was looking at.
You passed on J.C. Latham with the Bengals, it threw off the rest of my
yes, it threw you off. Let's go.
At 21, it is the Dolphins. DraftWire says Dolphins' best needs are... or biggest needs are interior offensive line, which I would have loved to have... Jackson Powers, Johnson there. And then after that, it's defensive tackle, then wide receiver. Then wide receiver is weird for the Dolphins because they don't need wide receiver. Tight end, edge, cornerback. So I'm looking at interior offensive lineman, and I'm looking at D-tackle. And I am now looking to see because I think that you really threw me off here. I would have had Troy Fatano here. Troy Fatano here, but you took him at... pick number 14, so a little bit earlier than I had expected him to go. So because of that, that just leaves, you know, defensive line as the last two or the other biggest position of need left. I was going to take Byron Murphy with the Rams pick if Jared Verse wouldn't have been there, so I will take Byron Murphy the third as the Dolphins pick in this spot.
Yep, especially now that they lost Christian Wilkins.
Yeah.
So they're going to get Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips back, but they are essentially linebackers. They are pass rushers, but they're linebackers. So I would say, especially if no D-tackle had been taken yet, that they're going to take a guy to play on the inside. Eagles, fairly straightforward, kind of boring. You know what? I'm having second thoughts.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what you're going to go here because I think there was an obvious pick, but there's still a player left on the board that I think should have been picked earlier at the same position that's rated a lot better.
You know what? I'm going to mix things up a little bit here. I'm going to say that they need a guy to replace Kelsey.
Okay, on that's not what I thought you were going to do the
on the interior offensive line, but their secondary last year was complete trash. They need help. They got C.J. Gardner-Johnson back at safety. I'm going to say they take a need at corner, and I think they go with an incredible athlete, Cooper DeJean.
That's actually who I thought you were going to take. That's
damn it!
That spot. I thought you were going to say that you were going to go with the replacement for Kelsey and take Graham Barton, and that's how you were going to mix it up. But then I also thought that you had Cooper DeJean as your pick, and you were going to take Terry and Arnold, who is still on the board.
Right. No.
As the higher prospect. But yeah, I've seen Cooper DeJean mocked a lot of
I can just
times
see him being
Eagles.
A good fit for the Eagles because he's so athletic.
Exactly. That's what I've seen as well. Which sucks because I'd love to see him fall to Detroit
but
at
that's
29.
But that is the less likely pick. With how the draft has gone, I just think I like this pick here a little more. But my original pick was Graham Barton because Howie Roseman and the Eagles do not mess around when it comes to linemen on either side. So they could easily go interior line here.
All right, now I'm up. This is where I'm going to call a little bit of an audible again. I have the Chargers up at number 23 because they traded back with the Vikings. My first pick for them would have been Troy Fatanu, who obviously wouldn't have been there for me because I was going to pick him with the Dolphins pick. Then Byron Murphy III, who already has been picked. I have Jaxon Powers-Johnson on their list as well. And then Jershon Newton is the only guy left that I would have had to pick. But because Amarius Mims is still there for them, I'm considering taking him as well. I would have them take Terrion Arnold here, but I already had them draft Quinyon Mitchell, so I don't think it makes sense for them to take two cornerbacks in the first round. So I will have them take Amarius Mims just to bolster up that offensive line a little bit. And then it almost makes it worth it passing on some of those tackles early on because they still got a top-rated tackle at that 23 spot.
Yeah, you sniped me there because that was going to be my pick for the Cowboys because I think that is a dire position of need, but now it seems that I think all of the tackles that should or could be taken by that spot have already been taken.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm having a rough time.
That's rough. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you.
Well, it's okay, because now I'm going to look at what I think is the next position of need for the Cowboys. Hold tight. Okay.
So, running back? You're going to have them reach on running back?
No. 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 That is a position of need. I am going to say that Michael Gallup has been too injured. Brandon Cooks is like 30. CeeDee Lamb is the only guy they have. He's going to eat. But I think to pair up with him, I think they need another guy that they can potentially rely on the other side of him. So I'm going to take a receiver that is very athletic, similar in size and build to CeeDee Lamb, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Do not tell me you had me taking him.
No, I had you taking him at 28 with the Bills pick, but I did know that that's the best receiver left on the draft. Unless you were going to reach at Xavier Worthy, then that was the pick. Or Ladd McCauley.
I have one guy above Adonai Mitchell, but oh, shoot, forgot my train of thought. I was going to say something. Oh, I've seen a lot of people, specifically Peter Schrager, having the Cowboys taking Xavier Worthy just because he beat the 40 record, basically.
Yeah, honestly, taking wide receiver in the first round would be a very Cowboys pick. I had them taking Nate Wiggins at that spot, who's the best cornerback that would have been on the board, but now Terrion Arnold is still on the board, so that would have been my pick instead that I would have guessed for you. So
Adonai or Adonai. Oh, okay. I don't know.
However you pronounce it. Mitchell,
it might be Adonai.
Makes sense at that spot. I think that's very likely that could happen for sure. At 25, I am up with the Packers, right? Yes, Packers. My top rated prospect for them was Cooper DeJean, who already went. So I am just going to have them take Terrion Arnold. He's the best cornerback left. They have like they've always liked having good cornerbacks on their roster. Let me just double check before I lock in my pick to make sure that I'm not missing another dire position of need for them that is sitting there on the board. But my list has cornerback as their biggest need this year. A lot of the mocks that I've seen have had them taking cornerback with, you know, the dysfunction they had in their secondary last year, even with Jair Alexander running out onto the field to pretend to be a captain for a game just because he felt like it. Like, they are looking to get guys that, you know, fit their scheme and are going to help out their defense and help Jordan Love be able to, you know, support him and win games. So I think Terrion Arnold, as much as it hates me to see it, because I would have loved Detroit to take him at 29, is the best cornerback left on the board right here. And so I think that's who they'll take.
Yeah, that's fair. Even though you have one good corner, doesn't mean that your secondary is like
right. I mean, the Browns have for the last 5 years had like five cornerbacks that could be starting cornerbacks on other rosters. They just are so deep, and that's why their defense has been so good, is because they just build as much support in the secondary to help their defensive line as they possibly can, and that's kind of what the Packers have tried to do the last couple of years. They've had a really good secondary.
Yeah, I'm not going to waste too much time with the Bucs. They have Tristan Wirfs. They could go tackle, but I think all the tackles are pretty much gone. I think the next lineman available is a higher position of need for them. So I think they take Grant Barton.
Interesting. I didn't think about much about that one either.
Ryan Jensen is older. Yeah, and their interior line, like that they had with Brady, is gone. So like that's a very high position of need. Minus Tristan Wirfs, they have not had a good offensive
that line. Was a snipe for me because I had the 49ers taking them at 31.
Good.
Number 27 for the Arizona Cardinals. My list: number one, Byron Murphy III, already gone. Number two, Jershon Newton, who is still on the board, and then followed by Cooper DeJean, and then a couple of cornerbacks that are, you know, ranked below the rest, Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry. I do have a note that if there's an edge that slips down to this spot, that I should be taking them because that's a higher position of need. But the only one that really fell, in my opinion, was Chop Robinson, who I had mocked to go the pick before. So I do think that Jershon Newton from Illinois is a better value for them, and I think that that will be their pick at this spot.
Okay.
Did I snipe you again?
Who was it again?
Jershon Newton?
No.
I didn't think so. All right, number 28. That would be the Buffalo Bills. And you have the opportunity to make me super, super mad, but I think that they're going to go wide receiver, so I can't imagine that you'll make me mad.
Oh. See. Man. Trey White's gone, dude. That defense kind of broke down a little bit last year.
That's true.
What do I do here? I mean, if I'm the Bills, you have Curtis Samuel, but you lost Diggs and Davis. I think you have to go receiver here. So now I'm looking at two guys with two fairly different styles of play. I guess I'm going to go with... Oh, man. Now with Joe Brady, though, they had more of a run game. You know what I mean? They wanted to establish a little more of a run game. I think so. Between these two guys, I like the one that's more athletic as far as passing goes, but to take some pressure off of Josh Allen once again to continue going with a really good run game that they had last year, I think they're going to take a guy that has better size, who's a little thicker, like heavier, stronger, but a guy that can go up and get it. I'm going to take Keon Coleman.
Oh, interesting. I thought you were going to take Ladd McConkey. Okay, great. I didn't have him going in the first round, but he would have been like right after in the start of the second round regardless. So, okay, that puts me up. I'm not going to waste any time. I have in my notes, the only thing that I've written down, and I'll double check because I did listen to another podcast about the Lions specifically on the way here so I can make sure I get this pick correct. They say Brian Thomas, if he's there, will probably go. Darius Arnold, if he's there, will probably go to the... Or sorry, not Darius. Terrion Arnold will go if he's there. And Graham Barton, all three of those guys are gone. So they recommended and said that the most likely pick is Darius Robinson here, who's an interior defensive lineman. don't really think that that's what they're going to do. I think that their biggest need on defense is cornerback. They just lost Jerry Jacobs. They lost...
Well, Nate Wiggins and Kool-Aid McKinstry are available here.
And so I would like to take Nate Wiggins because he's the higher-rated prospect, but I think that it's more likely they go Kool-Aid McKinstry because he's the cornerback for Alabama, was teammates with Brian Branch last year. He fits their culture better. He's like... kind of one of he's compared personality wise to CJ Gardner Johnson in that kind of like scrappy, I'm better than you kind of mindset, but not in the way that CJ Gardner Johnson was, where he takes it over the top and doesn't know how to dial it back. Kool-Aid McKinstry is still a good competitor about it. And so he's the guy that I've wanted them to take since before I even started researching the draft. So the fact that he's, you know, a top two rated prospect at this spot at cornerback, which is a position that I do think that they should draft. That is the player that I'm going to have them take here. All right, number 30. That's the good old Baltimore Ravens.
Dude. Oh, man. They got Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Williams. They had Geno Stone. They no longer have Geno Stone. And then who else did they have at safety? I'm not sure. So I'm
Kyle Hamilton. Did you say him?
Yes.
Already?
No, I did not say Kyle
Hamilton.
Just
like one of the best safeties in the whole NFL. No big deal.
Yeah, he's all right. So they could go corner here. Knowing that the Ravens are another one of those teams that just take the best guy available and you're just like, shit, they just got even better. And I think that I, in my opinion, that's what happened last year with Kyle Hamilton. I think they do it again this year. With how this draft has gone, I'll say they surprise people again. I say Nate Wiggins is passed up and they take Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
Odafe Owe is a big, like, power pass rushing kind of guy. They got Justin Madubuike at D tackle. And then Chop Robinson is a very fast, very speedy pass rusher that could be opposite to Odafe. And they will be an absolute nightmare for quarterbacks and Joe Burrow. Specifically.
Right. I'm double checking the 49ers needs before I make the pick, but it does agree with my pick here and say their best, biggest need is offensive tackle. And I mean, they were a Super Bowl losing team last year and are running it back with the same exact roster. The only question mark for this team this upcoming year is whether or not Brandon Ayuk is going to play for them or whether or not he'll get traded on or after the draft. So you might as well just bolster up your offensive line a little bit more and, you know, take someone to go opposite from that one tackle that's really, really good that now I'm forgetting his name.
For who?
For the 49ers. You know, the best tackle in the NFL.
Trent Williams,
that's one? That's him. Yep. Get a guy across from him in Tyler Guyton who can, you know, help block for Brock Purdy and help block for Christian McCaffrey. So I think that's who they go with at 31. To make up for my sniped Graham Barton pick. And who did you have? Nate Wiggins before that, right?
What? To the Ravens? No, Chop Robinson.
Oh, right. You passed on Nate Wiggins.
It doesn't feel right to see Nate Wiggins fall to the second round. I will say, I don't know why. Who did you have the Jaguars take?
Brian Thomas.
Oh, man. I think that's where I probably would have had Nate Wiggins or one of those corners go. I probably would have had a corner go there.
And well, then, too bad you didn't get the Jaguars pick.
I know. And then
there's always next year.
And then Brian Thomas would have fallen to the Bengals, which they could have taken to replace T. Higgins since he might be leaving. And I did see that.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Last pick for the Chiefs. They potentially just, well... They didn't, I don't know. They might not have lost him, but definitely some stuff going on with their rookie receiver from last year.
I saw the fantasy footballer said that the legal people that are good for fantasy football that just like break down all this kind of stuff and predict suspensions said that based on what is out right now, they are expecting like a 1 to 2 game suspension for Rashee Rice. So he should be back for most of the season, unless anything crazy comes out.
In which case, do they still go receiver? I mean, Travis Kelce is going to be another year older, so they probably need somebody.
I think they should go receiver, but I doubt that they will.
So he's a smaller guy, but he's 6'2", fairly athletic, played very well. And in my opinion, I think he's worth the take at 32. I think he should be a first-round pick. I'll say they take Troy Franklin.
Oh, great. So you still pass on Ladd McConkey.
I did, yep. A lot of people have the 49ers taking him.
I would not be shocked if in that spot Nate Wiggins went to the Chiefs because they just lost L'Jarius Sneed. I think that they would love to have another cornerback, and with that value there, I wouldn't be shocked if they passed on wide receiver to take that, but I do think that their biggest hole on this roster right now is wide receiver, and so if there's value at wide receiver in a class where wide receivers are very, very, very good, you might as well not pass on one. It's very rare that you get a wide receiver of this talent at the 32nd pick, so just take him.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, well, that closes it out.
Kind of a boring mock because we're not super risky. I wish that I had a trade, but there weren't any that made so much sense for me to do. Like I said, if there would have been a move that would have changed the trajectory of the rest of the first round, like maybe I would have been more inclined, you know, as one team to be like, shoot, we got to go up and get our guy then. That probably will happen, especially like even though this tackle class is deep, there may be a team that's just that like they really want their guy that probably fits their team more. I don't think the Steelers will do it, but this is just an example of like moving up to get Jackson Powers Johnson to make sure that they get him, versatile inside guy. That's who they want, but they could also go tackle. So, dude, we'll see. This is going to be an exciting draft.
Yeah, honestly, for sure. I mean, I predicted 16 picks correct for our mock draft, and I bet you that I'll have, what was the top six, top seven? I bet you that I'll have seven correct in the actual draft because it's just going to be that crazy. And that's assuming that I'm right about the Vikings trading up, which I doubt that they will actually do.
I hope we're wrong. Like, I want it to be exciting. I want to be able to
react. Yeah, I mean, last year, like, the Lions trading back to get Gibbs and, you know, all the stuff that happened with the first top five picks, the stuff that happened later rounds, watching Will Levis fall into the second round was like very, very exciting. And it's like, it's weird to see something as boring as a guy reading a name off of a piece of paper.
Dude, watch the Patriots just fuck the whole league and they take Marvin Harrison.
I would cry. That would actually be the worst thing for Marvin Harrison Jr.
I know that would... Yeah, that would suck. Jordan and Nick would be happy, though.
Jacoby Brissett, if any quarterback is going to be on the Patriots to throw him the ball in his rookie season, I would want it to be Jacoby Brissett. Maybe Jameis Winston would be the only player that I would take over him. Because it's like, if you're going to have someone as a bridge quarterback, you want it to just be someone that's going to throw the ball, and Jacoby Brissett's going to throw the ball. So maybe not such a bad landing spot. And who knows? Maybe they're a four-win team next year, and they get Shedeur Sanders at 101 next year.
Jeez. Yeah, if that were to happen, we definitely wouldn't hear the end of it from Nick and Jordan.
No, definitely not. Well, we would be able to get right back at them when they're a 6-win team the year after that and miss the playoffs. All right, well, that is it for us. Next week, we have, let's do a little preview here. We're going to go over draft reactions, obviously. That's going to be the hottest topic.
The Texans' new uniforms? Which, by the way, how do you feel about the Lions' new uniforms?
I mean, I feel like I've already beat it to death. I think that they're fine.
To me.
I have actually seen people that are not Lions fans posting on Twitter and Instagram saying that the Lions have the best uniforms in the NFL now.
So after looking at them, I am going to say this, and I didn't mention this to you, but they did something that I'm actually that I've been hoping the Texans have done with their new uniforms, and that's having the home uniforms. The Lions didn't do exactly this. I know it was their alternates, but have their home uniforms have the mascot name on it. So have Texans on the home uniforms, and on the away uniforms have Houston because they're going away. So it's like, you know, like where the team's from, but then when you're home, you know where you are. But
so weird that that's something that you just think about.
I don't know, dude. I'm weird like that. But I mean,
it makes sense because clearly the people that made the uniforms thought about it as well.
Yeah,
It wasn't exactly like that though, because I think that they're
the home uniforms.
They have nothing.
The home uniforms have nothing. The alternates, which I think was perfect, they did it perfectly. I think the home uniforms have nothing. It's just the blue, white, and gray.
Yep.
The alternates with the black have lines on it, and then the aways have Detroit on it. That is how I would like the Texans to do it. Even if they don't have an alternate or whatever, I want the aways to say Houston, and I'd want the homes to say Texans. I think that's so sick.
I think that I've seen a lot of people complaining that they don't have stripes on their pants, on their blue pants and their white pants. And
do they have anything on them?
They're just plain.
Like I would prefer that. And, I like yes, that better.
And I personally last year, so they're blue on blue jerseys on blue pants. The fans called them their blueberries. Like they, when they wore blue and blue, they were in their blueberry uniforms. Mm-hmm. And personally, if you're going to wear a uniform like that, I want it to be all one color. Like I don't want stripes on anything. Like it just looks cooler if everything's one color.
I said
but
this.
The reason that I think they didn't do it is because they now have the ability to mix and match those pants however they want to, and mm-hmm. it's not going to be like, oh, there's a black stripe on the blue pants. That doesn't work with the white jerseys, or right. that doesn't work with the blue jerseys. So now they have the ability to mix and match however they want to, and gives it a lot more variety, which I like.
When it comes to uniforms, I think there are two things definitely that are outdated. One, I told you, and that is the generic blocky font for numbers on uniforms. I fucking hate it. Listen, it looks good. It looks fine on the Lions uniforms, but I hate it.
I will say that's... It also sucks seeing, like, the Lions were leaked, just like the Texans were leaked. Because you look at the leak, and the leak always sucks. And, like, it's a leaked picture of a screenshot from online or, like, some other weird thing. So then everyone gets this bad taste in their mouth about
the
jerseys.
And then you see the release,
and then
like,
you see the
shit.
Release, and it's like, oh, yeah, that actually does look good. Yeah. I'm looking at it on a human now. And that's kind of how it was for me with the numbers. Like, at first, I did agree with you. I was like, they do look very blocky, which to me is fine because it's traditional and it makes sense. But seeing them on the jerseys, I don't think that it's a problem. I just thought that it was really funny that you were the only person that I've seen say that, except for that one random old guy that was on Twitter that was like, oh, these teams need to switch it up a little bit. They've had the same exact blocky text on their uniforms for 50 years. We need to change it and have it be something unique. And I was like, hey, someone that agrees with Brandon. So yes. I screenshotted it and sent it to him.
The second thing that I hate about uniforms that I think is overused, striped pants.
Yeah.
I hate it. Look at what the Seahawks did with their pants. Like, it's like a design. It's like a stripe that goes down the side of their pants, but it's like more of a design. It's not a basic ass stripe or a line inside of a stripe. Like, I just think that's boring. I'd rather have a solid color for the pants that, again, like what you said, you can mix and match and make alternates and like multiple different versions of your uniforms.
Yeah, my biggest takeaways for the Lions jerseys, I love the black jerseys, always have. My favorite jersey that I own right now is the black Matthew Stafford jersey. I will probably buy at some point three different black jerseys because I want a replacement quarterback one for Jared Goff. I want one for Amon-Ra St. Brown. That's my favorite player. And I'll probably get another one for a player that I don't have a jersey for already just because I like them that much.
Yeah. I know that you already have, and it's new, the Amon-Ra St. Brown jersey, but he's arguably the best player on the team, the most exciting, and your favorite. I would want my favorite player to be my favorite jersey.
See,
like my favorite type of jersey.
So
I'd want the black one to be St. Brown.
I still think my all-time favorite Lions player is Matthew Stafford.
Oh, all time, yeah. But yeah, like
so
right
like
now.
I'm fine having that jersey, but Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff are getting very close to passing that up. And then my other two takeaways, they lost the grays. They don't have their gray uniforms anymore. I did get a gray Jared Goff jersey this year. It is currently my favorite jersey that I own. Because I think that like seeing that gray jersey with like the blue outline on the numbers, that to me is Jared Goff's. Like that is when I picture Jared Goff right now, I picture him in that jersey, and that's like encapsulates him in Detroit. That's their color rush uniforms. I looked into a little bit. I had originally thought that the league allowed four uniforms, home, away, alternate, and color rush. Now I guess color rush counts as your alternate. So they had to get rid of the alternate to get the blacks, which does suck, or get rid of the color rush to get the blacks. So they don't have gray jerseys anymore, which does suck.
Again, I'm glad they did it that way. It's just gray. I mean, the black uniforms are so nice.
The thing is their colors are blue and silver. So to have a blue jersey and a silver jersey and their white jersey, that made sense for the team. And so I would like to have still seen them do the silver because now their colors are blue and black, which is fine. I'm perfectly fine with those two colors, but mm-hmm. they just basically did away with the silver except for accents. Not a huge deal. And then also their alternate helmets from last year. I think that they still can use the ones that they had last year because the helmet itself, I think, is still the same. They just changed the decals on them. But I really liked the color design last year with, even though it was like the nasty throwback logo that a lot of people don't like for Detroit, I really like the blue on blue with the design that they had. And mm-hmm. this year they're getting rid of that decal and they're putting black decals on it. I think it looks a lot like the Panthers helmets, and I actually can't even find a picture of the blue alternate Panthers helmets that they had forever ago. And turning the logo black feels weird, and I'm sure it will look sick on the field, but the pictures, that was just the vibe that I was like, I'm not really sure about the alternate helmets yet, but I think the blue helmets are sick. They're like metallic matte blue instead of shiny blue, which always is good for me in a helmet. Like the Vikings helmets are some of my favorites because they're not, you know, the shiny normal plasticky material. It's like matte plastic.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that the Lions did that, but I'm a little hesitant about the black logo on it, but I do think that it looks good with the black uniforms.
I'm excited for the Texans because I believe one version of their uniforms or one their alternate or whatever is a throwback like baby blue from the Oilers, like that baby blue. Like
throwbacks are always my favorite.
Versions. I can't wait to see that. It's some kind of alternate, and it's like it was a lot of what's on the uniforms or what's part of the new uniforms for the Texans were like voted by the fans too. So I just like the way that they've done it so far. I love the away uniforms that were teased. So I'm really excited to see them. Depending on what that baby blue jersey looks like, I might want a version of that. But I already have a Stroud jersey.
Good old Tank Dell jersey.
I don't know what I want.
Joe Mixon, your favorite player?
He's my favorite. I just always end up being the guy that stands up for him every year in fantasy. I'm like, guys, I'm telling you, he's good. No, he's not. Top 10 running back. Like
every, top five like, running back this past year.
Yeah, last couple years. I feel like I'd want a Danielle Hunter jersey.
Yeah.
But I also really liked, like, my favorite jersey was the one Amber got me, which was the one with my name on the back and the number that I had in high school. I might do something like that.
That's
just
cool.
Just because it's more sentimental, because it would suck if, like, your favorite player on your favorite team left or something happens, they murder someone or whatever, and it's like, I can't wear it anymore, you know? But I know I won't murder anyone.
All right. Like I was talking about with looking forward, next week we're talking about draft reactions, fantasy implications, and then Sleeper finally released their ADPs. I say finally. I feel like this is the earliest that they've ever done it.
Definitely. I feel like they haven't done it until June most years, like so way after the draft.
It's not perfect. I was looking, and it still has like Stephon Diggs in the second round and Nico Collins in the second round and Tank Dell in the third, which is obviously not going to happen. So there's still definitely some tweaking to do, but they're out and you can do an actual mock draft against the Sleeper AI and it won't draft Cooper Kupp in the first round, thankfully. And so we're going to kind of look at that. Depending on how long draft reactions and fantasy implications take, we might do our first official mock draft next week, but if not, then we'll just go through each player or each position and see what stands out as players that might be values or players that seem like they're ranked higher than they should be.
The draft was definitely boring if we have time for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Just the first round reacting to that should be enough. Yeah,
for sure. And then after that, we get into way too early rankings. Throughout most of May, it's way too early receivers, then running backs, then quarterbacks and tight ends in one episode. And then after that, unless I miscounted, we have episode 100, which I do want to do a mock draft for that and do some games during that. And then we're going to talk about some top 10 NFL quarterbacks, and then Brandon gets married. And so we're not sure what's going to happen during that week, but it will definitely be pre-recorded because we can't record from Belfast in a hotel on the night that Brandon gets married. Sorry, I don't think Amber would like that very much.
Nope, she definitely wouldn't.
But yeah, that takes us till the start of June. So it's going to be a fun next month and a half. And then we're basically into, you know, speculating stuff for the upcoming season. Off season will be pretty much completely done. That'll be training camp at that point. So I know it's still 4 months away, but it feels like the season's right around the corner.
Yeah, just because like all the stuff that happened with free agency, and then there was like a little bit of a break, and now we're like really into draft season. It's in less than a week from now.
All right. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed this mock draft. I'm sure we'll be 20% right, if that. But we will talk about it next week. Bunch of them signing off.